Good morning. Thank you so much for coming back. You know, a new survey indicates that 85% of Americans are suffering from financial anxiety. And Rebecca Barsh, she's Vice President of Planning for Northwestern Mutual, is here to talk about this survey and why are we so anxious? Why are we so upset? Why are we afraid? I only know the answers because I think we all go through it. Good morning to you, Rebecca.
Good morning.
Well,
so we,
yeah,
you when you were sharing 85% of Americans, you know, so the vast majority of us feeling this financial anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and I would say even worse, what we found through the research is that 36% of us say that that anxiety has gone up in the last 3 years.
Yes.
Compared to only 14% who said that it's faded away.
Hmm.
So I really think this is not only a pervasive problem that affects the majority of Americans, but it's getting worse and getting deeper. And as we think about what are the contributing factors to that, it's almost a perfect storm that we're facing.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the first situation, which is that the generations that came before us largely had their retirement security taken care of for them,
right,
by their companies with pensions, by Social Security, and maybe they had some savings on the side to help augment that. Now that responsibility has lifted off of the employers and onto our own shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we are now responsible for saving for and then navigating for, you know, what can be a 30 or a 35-year retirement.
Exactly.
Then secondly, those retirements keep getting longer as our longevity as Americans keeps increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're living longer, and that means our money has to last as long as we do, and yet we're not really sure how long that'll be. And then the third thing that we hear from a lot of our clients is this deep desire to want to help our kids through their college education.
Mm.
And college costs are escalating, higher inflation rate on college costs than we see in the normal inflation rate for our other expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put all that together, it's the perfect storm on Americans trying to figure out how to balance all these competing priorities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, too, that this election makes us uncertain about where we're going to be because, you know, while we're looking at it, you know, on the face of it, it affects, you know, who's employed, who's not employed, how much money you make. It affects everything.
Right. So elections always cause that kind of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the Brexit vote.
Yes.
So there's a lot swirling around in the marketplace right
mm-hmm.
now. And frankly, as we look back over time, there always seems to be a lot swirling, things that come out of left field that we're not necessarily aware or coming around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And really the only way to combat that is to have a long-term plan that's really customized to each of us and our family situation, and keep plugging away at it and take that long-term view.
Mm-hmm.
And when things happen like the Brexit vote or the recession that we saw
mm-hmm.
In 08, one of the worst things we can do is just to bail out and make a short-term emotional decision that might cause negative impacts for what our long-term financial goals are.
That's right. We just kind of had to wait that out. My advisor was like, look, don't even look. I mean,
good
you know,
advice.
look, but don't look. And
right.
just
and
be patient and wait it out.
Right. And then otherwise, what we find is we have people bailing out
mm-hmm.
of the markets at the lowest point and then getting back in at the highest
right.
point, which, of course, is the wrong approach to both ends of that spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as the generations, like I'm at the end of the baby boomers generation, and then I have 26, 28-year-old. Do we have the same feelings about retirement and, you know, how we're going to get there? Are we going to retire, you know, the way we want to retire? Do they feel the same way that we do?
You know, the way that we define retirement from generation to generation
mm-hmm.
is changing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk with millennials, as an example, about retirement, like people the age of your kids,
mm-hmm.
they tend to not envision the same take down the shingle and put our feet up and really just relax for the last period of our life that maybe the generations before us did. And they think about retirement first, something a long way off, and then secondly, maybe it doesn't ever really involve completely stopping working.
Yeah.
And maybe it just means, like they view their working life, a lot of change and trying out new things and moving in and out of different kinds of employment. So I would say that the view for retirement is changing. And as it relates to our financial responsibilities, interestingly, millennials are carry a high level of financial anxiety just like boomers do. And I think maybe before this research, we would have thought boomers would be more impacted because they're really the first generation needing to fund their own retirement.
Right.
But millennials watched their parents go through the recession and other volatility that followed. And they saw job loss either within their own family or within friends of their family. They came out of school having a hard time finding employment at the level that they were hoping. So millennials are feeling anxious as well.
You know, I think that, you know, and I'm 52, that I feel that way. I don't think that I'm going to ever really retire, you know, that I have some other things that I need to do. Because my grandmother is 89. She is so aware. She can still drive. She still lives by herself. She is, oh my gosh, she's sharp. And you look at that and you go, man, am I, you know, 90. You've got 90-year-olds out here still doing things and still active. So I think that as we see them get older and not sit down and not put their feet up, that we're thinking we're going to do the same thing. So I kind of feel the same way. But now, you know, talk about for a moment if we haven't really, those of us in our 30s, 40s, haven't even prepared for retirement. What should we be doing right now? Because that, you know, when you think about it, and not living the way you want to live and not doing the things you want to do when you finally retire or semi-retire, that's a scary thing. So what should we be doing if we haven't done anything?
So really the best step is to sit down, find somebody who does this for a living, a financial advisor that you can trust, and have a conversation about what the next best step in building a financial plan would be. So because this financial responsibility that we're all carrying has become more complicated over the years, there are a lot of moving parts to this. And just as we wouldn't necessarily diagnose our own medical condition, same is true in the financial realm. And really having an advisor who can help to understand what our personal situation is, what our budget looks like, where we spend our money, our income, what we save for the future, et cetera, and then putting that into a plan and a clear path that can take us forward. And a good financial plan really gives us freedom of choice.
Yes.
So you talked about being able to do what you want to do, and maybe that's keep working in retirement. But what we want to try to avoid is you being in a situation where you have to.
Exactly. And we see a lot of that.
Work because you want to and because you can have fun with it, as opposed to because you can't pay the bills.
Exactly. And we see a lot of that. There's a lot of older people who can't afford to retire.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So they continue to work. You know, and it's almost like going to the doctor. Some people are afraid to go to the doctor because of what the doctor's going to say. And it's the same with your money, with your financial situation. A lot of people are afraid to go and talk to somebody because they don't want to face the reality of what they must do or where they are and all of that. So what do you say to that?
Yeah, it's so funny you say that because my grandmother used to say, I'm not going to the doctor because I don't know what he or she will tell me. And we would laugh. But you're exactly right. This is the same situation. And we know that people can be kind of embarrassed about what they have or haven't done to prepare for their financial future. And we really need to set that aside in the best interest of both our own future as well as our family's future, and go in and be clear and honest and transparent and say, look, here's what I've got, and here's what my goals are, and help me to fill in the gaps and lay out the plan.
Absolutely. My financial advisor says it's never too late.
That's exactly right. So for those boomers out there who may be listening, who are feeling like maybe their best saving years have passed them by, it is still better to take that next step and really figure out what our situation is today than to let it go for another year.
Absolutely. Rebecca, tell people where they can go for more information.
Our website, northwesternmutual.com.
All right. Rebecca Barsh, Vice President of Planning for Northwestern Mutual, and great advice. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. It's the 4th of July weekend and the most popular time for people to break out the grill. We're cooking food. We're entertaining. And with more than 81 million Americans expected to participate in the barbecue this year, nearly $400 million worth of beef is sold in preparation for the holiday. And it's critical that consumers take the necessary steps to protect their families from foodborne illnesses, commonly known as food poisoning. Now, I've already had my first one. Hope I don't have any more. I had one last month. It was terrible. Chris Bernstein joins us today, Director of Food Safety Education with the USDA. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I'm sorry to hear about that.
Oh, my God. It was, I think, potato salad. Left out, went to a funeral, and came back for the repast. And boy, that potato salad was good.
Yeah, so we call that, we talk about the danger zone with all kinds of perishable foods. You really don't want to leave out any cooked meats, any of that potato salad, guacamole, anything that might spoil for more than 2 hours. But if it's really warm outside, you really shouldn't leave that food out for more than 1 hour. So if it's above 90 degrees, that's really your cutoff. And if it's left out longer than that, we say when in doubt, throw it out.
Throw it out. Yes. You've got a campaign, and it's called Food Safe Families Campaign, which is very true because kids get sick. It's terrible when your babies are throwing up and doing stuff from the other end, too, and you can't really help them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So our campaign has four steps to food safety. Clean, separate, cook, and chill. Clean is all about making sure you use clean hands and surfaces before you start preparing food. So you want to make sure you wash your hands for a full 20 seconds before you start cooking. Separate is all about reducing cross-contamination by using separate cutting boards for raw meat, poultry, and seafood, and then ready-to-eat items like veggies and any bread that you might be cutting, cheeses, that sort of thing. Cook is all about making sure you use a food thermometer to check the internal temperature of meat, poultry, and seafood before you serve it. The magic numbers you should be looking for on that thermometer are 145 degrees with a 3-minute rest time for steak, pork, whole cuts like chop, steaks, all those. Ground beef, all those hamburgers, all the ground pork and brats and hot dogs you might be serving this weekend, that should be cooked to 160 degrees. And then all poultry, including turkey burgers, should be cooked to 165 degrees. And then our last step is chill, which we already talked about a little bit earlier. You want to make sure you keep cold foods cold, nested in a bed of ice, and you don't leave any perishable foods out for too long in that summer heat.
That is so true. And it's good that you're talking about the food thermometer. You don't see a lot of people using food thermometers.
Absolutely. So a lot of folks don't realize that it makes cooking easier 4th of July weekend and really all year round. You can't see the bacteria, the pathogens that might be on or inside some of your food. And by cooking items to a safe internal temperature, you're sure that anything that might be present is killed, so it's not going to make you sick.
Absolutely. Tell us about the Foodkeeper app. I love this.
Yeah, so USDA launched our Foodkeeper app last year. We actually updated it recently with Spanish language capabilities, so it's now bilingual. It has information on more than 400 items, really anything that might be in your kitchen, from ground beef to chicken to pasta to rice. And it has storage information, cooking guidelines, so a lot of really great information in there.
You know, and that's a big one, too, you just kind of pointed to, was storage. Do you store food when it's still warm, or do you wait for it to cool off? What is the best practice here?
So that's a really great question. A lot of folks think that they can't put food in the refrigerator unless it's cooled to room temperature, and that's actually not the case. There can still be steam coming off that food when you put it in the Tupperware and put it in the refrigerator. In fact, it's safer when you do it that way because then it'll get down to a safe temperature more quickly than if you let it stay at room temperature for a while before you put it in the fridge or freezer.
All right. Now, that's good to know. That's good. Because, of course, you know, old school, got to leave it out, can't put it in the fridge hot. and never know whether that was the right thing or not.
Yeah.
The Food Safety Practices and Access is Ask Karen. It's an online database with over 1,500 answers to specific questions relating to preventing foodborne illnesses.
Exactly. And we also have a website, foodsafety.gov, and a toll-free number you can call if you have any questions about any kind of foods. You can get connected directly with a USDA food safety expert, and that phone number is 1-888-MP-HOTLINE.
All right. What better time to talk about food safety than today? Tomorrow's the big day. A lot of people started cooking out probably Friday, Saturday, but most folks are going to cook out on tomorrow and have all the folks over. Foodsafety.gov is where you need to go. Where, and can they find out more about the app at that site as well?
Absolutely. They can find out about the Foodkeeper app on our website, mm-hmm. or they can visit the Google Play and Android stores. If you just search the word Foodkeeper, it's the first thing that comes up, and I think it'll definitely help you in the kitchen this weekend and year-round.
Absolutely, absolutely. Foodsafety.gov. Chris Bernstein, thank you so much. Have a wonderful holiday.
You as well. Thanks, Fonda.